Talking now about stars, because last night 2,000 people gathered on the front lawn of the University of Sydney to gaze up into the sky. It was part of a simultaneous effort by thousands of others all across Australia to break the Guinness World Record for most people stargazing at once. This ABC Stargazing Live event was hosted by Dr. Karol Krushelnicki and involved 14 universities, 8 observatories, and scout and Girl Guide groups from all around the country. I'm joined now by Catherine Ross, an astrophysicist from the University of Sydney, who gave a talk at last night's event at the university. Thanks for joining us this morning, Kat.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So, Kat, what was everybody looking up for in the sky? Like, what were they staring at through their ABC brand telescopes?
Well, we were focusing for 10 minutes on the moon, which was in its first quarter, so it was absolutely beautiful. But thankfully, the night went a little bit longer than 10 minutes. So we also got to see Jupiter. All its moons were out as well.
All of them? All the moons?
All of the moons that we could see.
How many moons is that?
Well, I think the last time I checked, Jupiter had about 63 moons.
And how many can we see from Earth with our ABC brand telescope?
With our ABC brand telescope, you might be pushed to see one, maybe. But if you get a good telescope slightly bigger than that one, you could see maybe three or four moons, which would be amazing. And Saturn also showed a little bit later. I think it rose just after 9. So there was lots of things on display last night, which is great.
I also heard something about a supernova.
Yes. So I think we found a supernova that exploded about a billion years ago, which is so exciting to think of, because the light from that supernova takes a billion years to travel to us. It's that far away. So even at the speed of light, it takes that long to reach to us.
Now, it's a type 1A supernova. What does that mean for people who don't necessarily, you know all the levels of supernova?
Yeah, so there are definitely different types of supernova depending on what stars are exploding and what the actual event is. Now, type 1A supernova is actually a really special type of supernova, because it explodes at the exact same luminosity every time. And so because of that, we can actually determine how far away something is because we know how bright it should be, and we can compare it to how bright we observe it to be. Mm-hmm. And so Brian Schmidt actually won the Nobel Prize for using those types of supernova to discover that the universe is expanding at an accelerating rate, not just expanding.
And astronomy is definitely one of those branches of science that like captures the public imagination fairly well. What's your own experience with that kind of like, you know, the wonder of astronomy?
Oh, it's definitely been a big part of me my whole life. I mean, everyone loves to just look up at the stars, right? Like you can do that from any age. And it was definitely big in my family. We used to go out onto the street to watch the ISS, so the International Space Station, which is weird to think of that you can just watch a star moving across the sky and it's a spaceship in orbit around the Earth. But so much fun. So we used to always have competitions to see who could spot it first. And then I found out that people lived there, so kind of freaked me out because I realized if people lived there, they obviously have to go to the bathroom up there. So every time it would get overhead, we had to cover our heads to stop pee from landing on us.
Well, it's kind of a glorified airplane, you know. You always wonder where that all goes.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah.
And how much of a contribution? So this was like obviously everyone who was gathering. They weren't scientists for the most part. They were just people out to look at stars.
Yeah, just regular people.
How much of a contribution can ordinary people make to science? Like, I mean, astronomy, for example.
So much, so much. So one of the great things about astronomy is there's so much out there and we have so many telescopes collecting data all the time that there's a lot of data that we need to get through, and there's simply not enough astronomers to do it a lot of the time. And so there's citizen science. A lot of people can go on and you can classify galaxies, you can help find supernovas. It's fantastic. So many different things that regular people can do. You don't have to be a professor of physics for 10 years just to, you know, try and do anything in astronomy.
And while astrophysicists definitely are probably better at, you know, analyzing all the data than ordinary citizens, you did mention that they had a scarcity of imagination when it came to certain areas.
Yeah, we may be doing some pretty great stuff, but we're certainly not the best when it comes to naming things. So, for example, we built a really big telescope and settled on the name VLT for Very Large Telescope. Good job. And then built a bigger telescope than the VLT and kind of had a bit of a panic moment because we've already sort of set ourselves a bit of an issue there, but eventually settled on ELT for Extremely Large Telescope. And then we sort of dug ourselves a hole, because then we planned to build a telescope even bigger than that, and eventually settled on OLT for Overwhelmingly Large Telescope.
Yeah.
It's not great. We're not great at naming things.
Sometimes you can kind of take that, like, we're taking a common sense naming approach, and other times just like we ran out of ideas.
Yeah, exactly. And they did exactly the same thing when naming stars. So yeah. We found a really big red star, so we named it a red giant star. Again, creative.
Yeah.
But then we found stars that were bigger than the red giants, but were also red, and so we kind of panicked and called them red supergiants.
What if you found an even bigger?
We did.
Oh, geez. We did. Oh, God. What did you call
it? The exact same thing happened, and we settled on red hypergiants.
Really?
Yes.
That's, look, supergiant sounds kind of cool. Hypergiant just sounds ridiculous.
Exactly, yeah. And now we've dug ourselves a hole. Like, this is a trend.
Yeah.
So if we find an even bigger one,
ultra giant,
we're absolutely screwed. Yeah.
Mega supergiant.
That's probably what half of our job will be, is just trying to name what it is.
You just finished your own studies at the, you know, Sydney University. What were you investigating briefly?
I was actually investigating a type of red supergiant. It's a special one called MUSEP. And it's a red supergiant that's so big, if it was in our solar system, it would extend to beyond the orbit of Jupiter. It's massive. I always say super big, but still can't even fit Uranus. Classic astronomy joke.
You had a tough crowd with that joke last night.
Oh, yeah. Hard work. but I was studying the dust surrounding MUSEP. Using an instrument called VAMPIRES, which is the Visible Aperture Masking Polarimetric Interferometer for Resolving Exoplanetary
Systems. I just want to clarify for everyone listening, this is actually what most of science is finding names. Silly acronyms for things,
yeah.
Like vampires.
It's purely coincidental how that turned out, I'm sure. and so I was studying the gas and the dust surrounding MUSEP, and I found not only was it there, but it was really, really close to the star. Because usually when we image the gas and the dust, we have to block the actual star. It's too bright to see the gas and the dust. Yeah, so you block it out and you observe everything around it. But that means you lose a lot of the information really close to the star. So using VAMPIRES, we actually are more interested in the polarization of the light, which is a certain property, and we look at the difference in the polarization around the star. And using that, we can find that the gas and dust is there very close without being blinded by the light right next to us. And so I found that it was there really close to the star, but it was also really asymmetrical. It was very elliptical in shape, and the gas and dust was very much distributed unevenly, which shows that MUSEP is highly unstable, throwing out a lot of matter and everything as really huge radii and at small radii, which suggests that we don't really know what's going to happen to it.
So definitely good thing it's not in our solar system, huh?
Yeah, like doubly, yeah. Because it's in its final stages of life,
oh,
so
no.
It's going to go supernova and explode. And
maybe and even a type 1A?
Not a type 1A.
Oh, no.
No, a type 1A involves a white dwarf.
Oh, no, okay.
Star.
That's
yes.
unfortunate.
Yeah, yes.
So one of the other many exotic types of supernova.
Exactly, yes. I'm not exactly sure which type it would be, but yes, it would be spectacular for sure.
So now last night was all part of this sort of Guinness World Record attempt. How do you think they're going to figure out whether we broke that world record or not?
I'm hoping we did. And I know that each venue had to keep a record of all the people that were there. And we had officials watching to make sure you didn't break away from your telescope during the 10 minutes. It was all very official and very well done.
Well, I know down at the ANU, they had a whole bunch of clouds. So they said that we set a new cloud gazing record.
Oh, amazing. Yay.
Like
we couldn't see
anything, but we stood there those clouds for 10 minutes and we liked it. So, yeah. But luckily we had a pretty clear night
where we were. Yeah, we had a perfect stargazing night.
Except here for all those really bright lamps around the lawn.
Safety is important, but also astronomers want total pitch black.
Safety always gets in the way of science.
So frustrating.
Well, thank you very much, Kat. It was
a lot of fun,
and your speech was very enjoyable, and it was a really cool event too, with Dr. Carl hosting it. And we'll be able to know whether we won the Guinness World Record, I guess, when the Guinness World Record people tell us.
I think it's sometime today, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, keep tuned. Keep tuned. That's what we say around here. Keep tuned. This is 2SER. I've been talking to Catherine Ross from the University of Sydney, an astrophysicist who gave a talk at ABC Stargazing Live last night, which was a whole bunch of fun and a really good time.